Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We have lots to talk about on this beautiful weekend, and we invite you to call us, 888-302-3684. That's our number. And we'd love to hear from you with questions related to our theme, intelligent medicine. That means the best of high-tech medicine, the best of natural therapies. We put those together for you each weekend here on Intelligent Medicine. We also have Intelligent Medicine podcasts. So if you are an infomaniac and want lots more intelligent medicine information, you can go to drhoffman.com and download our podcast. We've got some great ones. This week we talk about natural therapies for lowering cholesterol. We run through all of them, all the purported things that help to lower cholesterol, niacin, red yeast, rice, polycosinol, you name it. drhoffman.com for podcasts. And among the things we're going to talk about, trees are healthy for you. And now it's been conclusively proven by modern science. Also, pet ownership, owning a dog is healthy for you. 888-302-3684, as if pet owners didn't already know that. And we'll also talk about, you remember that Woody Allen movie, 1973? I keep going back to that movie because there's so much prescience about what's happening in the world of medicine and health in that 1973 movie. What is that? 40 years ago, right? 40 years ago? In Sleeper, the main character played by Woody Allen is running from the authorities in a futuristic world, and he escapes and runs into a closet, or at least he thinks it's a closet, and he emerges with a dazed smile on his face because it turns out that what he's run into, and he's closed the hatch on it, is something called an orgasmatron. Well, there's news 40 years later. Sure enough, prophetically, it's come true. There is news of a real-life orgasmatron. Scientists have patented a new machine, and we'll find out about it in just a moment. 888-302-3684. But first, let's talk about, you get a lot of calls about something called spinal stenosis. In fact, I don't want to get any more calls about spinal stenosis because it's a tough, nasty problem that many people experience as they age. And for the life of me, I don't have a therapy that works for it. It's the bane of many doctors' existence, and it's the bane of many sufferers because it's a painful condition and a debilitating condition where your spinal cord actually becomes narrowed. And there's a canal that goes through your spinal column, and it gets constricted with arthritis and through the twisting and turning of the aging process. And as a result, you may experience pain and weakness in your legs. In contradistinction to claudication, which is leg pain that gets worse when you walk, this is actually leg pain and weakness that gets better when you mobilize. And it does respond to some extent to physical therapy, but one of the popular therapies for this is a steroid injection. You get an injection in your spine, and that's supposed to relieve the pressure, the swelling, and help to alleviate the spinal stenosis. In fact, an estimated 10 to 11 million injections are given annually in the United States. And it's even to the point where insurance companies encourage these injections. At present, many insurance companies require what are called epidural injections as part of non-surgical treatment before surgery is approved. Now, if for some of you the word epidural resonates, that may be because you're a woman who's given birth, and sometimes epidural injections are given to ease birth pain. And some of you women who you've gone through this procedure, you know that, man, you just don't feel anything below the waist after an injection of anesthetic into the spinal column. It perfectly numbs you below the waist. You don't want that if you suffer from spinal stenosis. So you get a little bit of a painkiller that's temporary, and then you get the steroid. The steroid is supposed to be the thing that really reduces the swelling, helps to take away the pressure, and is a popular solution to the problem. Well, they just studied it in the New England Journal of Medicine. And this just keeps happening again and again and again. We discovered that the very therapies that we've come to rely upon that we thought were great turn out not to work. Patients in this study received either a glucocorticoid injection with some lidocaine or just lidocaine alone, and they were compared at 3 and 6 weeks and then further down the line. And what they found was that they were virtually identical in physical function, and there was no significant difference in leg pain. And so what they conclude from this study is that these steroid injections are a waste of time. And, oh, by the way, they do cause complications. This recent horrible bout of terrible infections that occurred when contaminated steroids were used to inject people's spines occurred mostly in the recipients of these epidural glucocorticoid injections. And so what they're saying is this study raises serious questions about the benefits of epidural steroid injections for spinal stenosis. And if you've had one of these injections and it didn't work, they recommend very highly that you don't go for a repeat injection. Repeat injections should be avoided if there is no effect. So will this change doctors' prescribing patterns? Will insurance companies be more reticent to reimburse these shots, which are mostly useless and potentially hazardous? We'll have to see. But ultimately, I got to say, it's a tough kind of problem. It responds, I think, well to weight loss. It responds well to physical therapy. The best way to deal with spinal stenosis is to prevent it from occurring in the first place, to maintain your mobility throughout your life. Because if you sit around and you're sedentary and you're overweight and you're inflamed and you don't have any nutrients in your body, no essential fatty acids, it's much more likely that you will develop conditions like this as you age. And then you'll call this program or go to your doctor, and there won't be anything you can do to reverse it. It's a tough kind of problem. The bone literally compresses your spinal nerves. And as a result, you may be in for serious pain and debilitating weakness and balance problems. It's a nasty condition. We need better therapies for spinal stenosis. Oh, by the way, surgery not proven to be effective in the majority of cases. Sometimes done as an emergency measure, but it's a big deal, and it seldom resolves the problem. All right, let's talk now to Sandy from Chaseburg, Wisconsin. Hi, Sandy.
Hi.
How you doing?
Fine, thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was diagnosed with, should I read you what he said and the doctor wrote down for my shoulder?
Yeah, if it's less than, 1,000 words, sure. You know, maybe give me a simple rundown of what your doctor said you had.
Okay, he said I showed prior acromioplasty with a large acromioplasty that had been excised.
So you had a prior surgery there on your shoulder,
that
right?
That was a rotator cuff tear.
Got
and it.
It
was repaired some years ago. I think it was in 2006.
Okay.
I'm not
fancy
real sure.
Word for rotator cuff repair. Okay.
And then she had fairly significant degenerative changes from the glenohumeral articulation, but some joint space present, and then some super migration of the humeral head to the undersurface of the remaining acromion.
You got a bum shoulder.
And he said to consider a reverse prosthesis. Uh-huh. And then he said she has very little acromial bone left and could affect the deltoid function, can be problematic and a fairly aggressive.
So you're saying you should get a shoulder joint replacement, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And then he said she has a fairly aggressive resection of the distal clavicle. Now, the thing I'm concerned about, I can't raise my arm up. Well,
right.
This is what he said. He said I could flex today 60 degrees passively to 170, externally rotate 60 degrees, internally rotate to L5. I have no idea what it means, except that I know that I can't raise my arm up.
Right, that's what it means. You can't raise your arm up. All right. Sandy, stay with us. I'll answer that question in just a minute. What do you do when you're told you need a shoulder replacement? Now, I've heard about knee replacements. We often hear about hip replacements. What about shoulder replacements? Is it a good idea? I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. We'll answer that question in just a moment on today's Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh. Why do I use Spry? Because it works.
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
At Nordic Naturals, we know that a commitment to deliver the world's safest, most effective omega oils requires an exceptional process. That's why we manage every step of production, from boat to bottle. That includes sustainably sourcing wild-caught fish from well-managed fisheries. It means using state-of-the-art equipment and technology at our manufacturing plant in Arctic Norway. Nordic Naturals bottles and encapsulates our omega-3s at our own facility and carefully ships products from our eco-friendly headquarters in California. The result? Nordic Naturals products have received more than 40 awards for taste, innovation, and product excellence. You can trust the quality of Nordic Naturals products and know you're getting all the health benefits omega-3 fish oils offer. Nordic Naturals' high-quality, great-tasting omega-3s make staying healthy easier for you and your family. When choosing an omega-3 fish oil product, choose the number one fish oil in the U.S. Choose Nordic Naturals. Available at natural product retailers or online at NordicNaturals.com.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684. By the way, if you have a question and you cannot call us now or you can't get through this hour, you can email your question to radioprogram@AOL.com. No, we won't answer each and every single question you send us. We're not a remote answering outpost for all things medical, but if we select your question, we will discuss it on our weekly Q&A with Layla. That's when I get together with Layla Mudin, Hoffman Center nutritionist, and we answer listener questions on our podcasts, which are available at drhoffman.com. So radioprogram@AOL.com. Send us your questions. We'll be happy to answer them, and we're going to answer Sandy. Sandy's considering a shoulder replacement. Is that correct, Sandy?
That's what he told me. Reverse prosthesis.
So, yeah. We're going to go into the medical terminology all we want. But basically, it's a shoulder replacement. And it's kind of like a hip replacement or a knee replacement. And, it's a tough kind of surgery because the shoulder, it is a very, very exquisite mechanism. The smaller the joint, the hip's a big joint, the knee's a big joint, the shoulder's a smaller joint. A real small joint might be a finger joint or a wrist joint or an ankle. And the replacements of those tend to be less reliable. And so it's a risk-benefit equation. It's kind of like if you can live with it and if you can do physical therapy and if you can, sometimes, one of the philosophies are as you age, it's like, look, if I can get through my day and do my daily tasks and I'm not in excruciating pain, okay, I can't throw a fastball, 90 miles an hour. I can't, throw smash a tennis serve like a tennis pro. But is a shoulder replacement worth it? Is it going to make a big difference?
What I wanted to know is, he told me that he wouldn't be able to restore much function. He said that I would have some improved forward flexion. But
that's what I'm saying is that he admits that he won't be able to restore much function, and so The question is enough of a benefit to justify the downtime and the potential complications, the pain associated with the surgery? How successful is shoulder replacement? Sometimes it is, and certainly might be merited if you're in excruciating pain, if it can relieve the pain. Are you in a lot of pain?
Yes, sometimes. He didn't take an MRI of me. He just took an X-ray. Should there be some other test that he would take to find out?
I'm not the one to say that. You know, I think an orthopedist could answer that question, and probably they can. You know, the damage is so clear from a physical exam and from the X-ray that they may not feel that an MRI is justified. You know, they just look. You've got a really messed up shoulder, and the answer is shoulder replacement. So, it also has to do with your age. If you sound like a vigorous individual, but say, you were to be, 89 years old and you might be suffering from cancer or a severe heart condition, where your prognosis for living much longer is limited anyway. So why undertake a big surgery that might put you at risk if you're older and weaker and more vulnerable? That wouldn't make a lot of sense. If your life expectancy is limited. But if you are, a woman who's, say, 70 years old, you might have 25 more years of life ahead of you. And you may want to sort of get a lottery ticket, hope that you have a very good benefit from the shoulder surgery, and that that will really improve the quality of your life. I think what you need to do is get a second opinion, not from a radio host, but from another orthopedist. Find out if indeed this offers you a good prognosis, or maybe there's some alternatives. Maybe there's some type of physical therapy. We just did a story on steroid injections for spinal stenosis. Well, that's not the same thing, but you can only get a limited benefit from steroid injections. There are also other procedures like stem cell injections. Sometimes they do that in knees. But if you're bone on bone and there's a lot of destruction of the surfaces, then you have a limited prognosis for benefit. So, it's really hard for me to answer without seeing the x-rays or without personally being an orthopedist and knowing what the potential of these surgeries are.
He told me not to do any exercises on my shoulder, not to go to physical therapy.
Okay, so then probably it's too far gone for that. Yeah, that would be his
assessment. I was going to ask if you know how to contact, like, the Dr. Show or Dr. Oz.
Here's one piece of advice on how to contact Dr. Oz. Good luck. Good luck. Okay? I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Thanks for calling. And, Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz is, I don't think, is going to be the tiebreaker on this particular problem. All right, let's talk about the Orgasmatron. All right, the Orgasmatron, originally introduced 1973 movie Sleeper with Woody Allen. Well, science fiction sometimes becomes science fact. Now, 40 years later, scientists have patented a new machine that will provide orgasms for women at the push of a button. This is a big deal, actually, because men have a lot of treatments for ED, erectile dysfunction. There are far fewer treatments for something called FSD, female sexual dysfunction, and it's a terrible problem. So this device, a little smaller than a pack of cigarettes, the machine is designed to be a medical implant that uses electrodes to trigger an orgasm. The device would help some women who suffer from orgasmic dysfunction. It's implanted during an operation. The surgeon pinpoints the right nerves to fit the electrodes in a patient's spinal cord, and the results apparently are good. Orgasms could happen at the push of a button when the implant could be triggered by a handheld remote control. Like that scene out of Harry Met Sally, I'll have what she's having. Katz's Delicatessen. Be careful not to push the button by accident, or hopefully it won't be triggered by an airport screener or something. One of those things. Anyway, it's intended to be used in the most serious cases of orgasmic dysfunction because it's kind of like a pacemaker. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
If you're like me, balancing my blood sugar is important to me for my health and wellness, especially as I get older. I pay attention to what I eat and try to exercise daily, but even that might not be enough. So each day I take Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance in conjunction with a healthy diet, regular exercise, and plenty of rest. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is my trusted ally for healthy weight management, overall cardiovascular health, and immune function. Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is a synergistic combination of odorless kyolic aged garlic extract and herbs and nutrients shown to help maintain blood sugar levels. And it's made by our friends at Kyolic, the number one best-selling odorless garlic supplement on the market for over 40 years. So join the Kyolic team. I did.
Kyolic Blood Sugar Balance is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores everywhere.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. 888-302-3684 is our number. And it turns out that trees are good for you. Also, having a dog is good for you, according to new research. Now, most of you, when you were, or at least when I was a kid, we had to memorize this poem. I think that I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree. That's the most, I guess that's almost the most famous line of poetry in the world by Joyce Kilmer. And few will remember that the following line ensues after that initial introduction. A tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breast. It's a little much in terms of adulation for trees, but it turns out that trees can save our lives. This according to a new study. They are saving more than 850 human lives a year and prevent 670,000 incidents of acute respiratory symptoms. So you think, okay, big deal, a tree. But a tree, trees are actually very valuable to the ecosystem because they help to improve air quality. Trees actually suck up the carbon dioxide and release oxygen, which is what we breathe. There's a perfect synergy between animals who release carbon dioxide and trees, which rely upon it and release oxygen, which animals in turn rely upon, in a perfect harmony. Trees pollution removal equates to an average air quality improvement of about 1%. But the impacts of that improvement are substantial, according to the researchers, in particular in urban areas. And I think one of the most remarkable things about New York is that they had the foresight in crowded Manhattan. You know, when you 40 miles from Manhattan, you can see this wall of skyscrapers looming over the skyline. There's no skyline anywhere like it. But within the interior of Manhattan, there's Central Park, which is a great refuge, beautiful, green, and full of luscious trees and vegetation. And it turns out that the trees may help us reduce the incidence of acute respiratory symptoms, particularly in urban areas. So the trees in the Amazon, yeah, they're important if you live in, Chicago. But what's more important are the trees are in the city parks. And so we should be encouraging parks and trees, planting trees on streets in urban areas to remove pollution. All right, dogs are beneficial to your health. You know, ask any pet owner. There are actually studies showing that the mere presence of a dog can be healthful because the dogs are, they're so nice. They're so accepting. They're so loving. And they also provide you with a focus. They prevent loneliness. And dogs are just a wonderful, wonderful resource for people. And it turns out they also enhance people's physical activity. Of course, that's a big duh. Any dog owner will tell you that it's the dog that gets them out. The dog looks at you plaintively and sometimes brings you the leash in his or her mouth and makes you go out and take them for a walk, even when you just want to lie back on the sofa and watch a TV or watch a movie. Research has used data from the physical activity cohort study in Scotland, looking at people who lived in the community Tayside in Scotland. And they assessed whether dog ownership is associated with objectively measured physical activity. And what they found was indeed it was. Now, look, there is an element that can mess up a study like this, which is that if you're completely debilitated, you may not have a dog. So then they could say, well, okay, the dog ownership was a factor in whether you have better physical conditioning. Well, they controlled for that. And when they controlled for health parameters, mobility, and so on, it still didn't remove the effect of dog ownership on measured physical activity. Dog owners were found to be 12% more active than non-dog owners. So, in particular, later in life, dog ownership is associated with physical activity. So, this is what the authors of the study say. And this is typical of a scientific study. Interventions to increase activity among older people might usefully attempt to replicate elements of the dog ownership experience. Now, what are they talking about? They're trying to replicate elements of the dog ownership experience with what? A dog robot? What about a real dog? What about all those poor shelter dogs that need adopting? So, typical scientific mumbo jumbo, replicate the dog ownership experience. We must study how we can replicate the dog ownership experience. All right. Those of you who are told to come in for blood tests, we talked about this, I think it was last week. We talked about the lack of necessity of having a fasting blood test when it comes to cholesterol. Now, a lot of people say, well, yeah, but if I eat, my cholesterol goes up. Well, according to studies, if you eat, your cholesterol might go up slightly. But hey, what we're trying to measure is not your cholesterol under perfect conditions. People eat and your cholesterol goes up. So if we want to actually check your cholesterol and see what it is under normal conditions, go ahead and eat. And now we've got another study looking at a myth, which is that when men get their testosterone checked, we need to do that in the morning because testosterone has a diurnal cycle. It's higher in the morning and it decreases through the day. It tends to be lower in the afternoon and evening, goes up at night, goes down, midday. And so must serum testosterone be measured first thing in the morning? Well, according to a new study, the timing of testosterone measurement becomes less important as men age, at least during the hours 7 a.m. and 2 p.m. So maybe, after 2 p.m., maybe that's going to skew the measurements. It'll turn out you have lower testosterone than you really do earlier in the day. But in men younger than 45, there was diurnal variation. The variation was pretty significant. 600 at 7 a.m., 500 at 10 a.m., 400 to 450 by 2 p.m. But as you age past 45, average serum testosterone levels differed only minimal at all times from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. So for the group that is most in question, not that many 45-year-old or younger men need to get their cholesterol, their testosterone checked. It's mostly older men. So for these older men, 50, 60, 70, doesn't matter when you get it checked, as long as you check it fairly early in the day. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. The perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers. The beach, outdoors, and vacations are all benefits of summer, but the worst possible time to experience painful and embarrassing bloating and gas. Bloating often isn't triggered by how much you eat, but rather eating certain foods that are difficult to digest. These undigested substances then pass into your colon, producing the gas bubbles that make your stomach swell up and produce uncomfortable and unattractive belly bloat. However, with the proper amounts of beneficial probiotics in your GI tract, food that is challenging to digest is rapidly broken down. As a result, the space that the food occupies is decreased, and there is less gas and bloating. Dr. O'Hara's award-winning probiotics delivers a live, viable blend of beneficial bacteria directly to the source of discomfort. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics improves your colonic pH, regaining bacterial balance and correcting the root cause of bloat and discomfort. This summer, discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Our next caller, Drew from Ossining, New York. Hi, Drew.
Hello. Yep. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I was wondering, are there medical approaches other than surgical for a condition my mother is suffering from? She's 88 years old, and she has mild communicating hydrocephalus. And it's, we believe it's idiopathic. We didn't have any injury.
Right. Okay, so what that is, hydrocephalus is water on the brain, and it occurs sometimes in children, and that may be due to some kind of congenital malformation of the ventricles of the brain, which is, where the fluid circulates within the brain, not blood, but actually cerebrospinal fluid. And it also occurs in the elderly. And idiopathic is just a fancy word for, I can't tell you why you have this, but I'm going to bill you anyway. That's what doctors say when there's the cause of a problem is unknown. It just developed spontaneously. And it is a problem that often older individuals have, and it can be life-threatening because water accumulates on the brain, the swelling can push against the brain, can cause parts of the brain to herniate, which causes rupture of blood vessels, damage to the brain, and you can die. And you can also, she's having excruciating headaches from this, discomfort, problems with walking and balance.
She's had trouble with mobility, and she's also had some symptoms that mimic dementia.
Yeah. Okay, well, so that's also associated with dementia, because as you get older, your brain shrinks and your ventricles enlarge. And there's more fluid that needs to circulate, and sometimes it just builds up so that, that's what's going on. So the treatment for this is not medical. There's not really it'd be nice if there's like a diuretic or something. If you have excess water in your feet, you can take a water pill and, get rid of that, Lasix or something like that. If you have brain swelling, there are medications that help with brain swelling, but like Diamox, glucocorticoid medications, but they won't work in this case. So you have to install what's called a shunt, and that's a medical device which takes the built-up fluid, it's kind of like a tube, and then it reinserts it back into the body. It doesn't just leak out, you don't just collect it into a pan, every morning. It actually circulates the fluid back in your body. The idea is to keep it within your body, because an open tube that leads directly to your brain could be a conduit for germs. And if germs go directly into the interior of your brain, woe unto you. You can get a terrible, terrible infection and die. So the main problem with shunts is that they have to stay open. They have to provide for an egress of the fluid under pressure from the brain without clogging up. And if they do, then the pressure builds up again, and or there's a possibility that there can be an infection. Anytime you open up a hole in the skull to let out fluid, that is a potential route for germs. So, you know, it's a dicey kind of thing in an 88-year-old. And I guess that's a procedure they're going to do because it, you know, may help to extend her life. There is really no alternative to it. I mean, I could tell you, take this vitamin, that vitamin, the other, you know, this herb or something. But that's not going to work. This is a mechanical problem. And, you know, it's a little bit like if your muffler's about to fall off in your car, for me to say, oh, well, change your motor oil. No, that's not going to work. You need a mechanical fix to a mechanical problem in a car, just as you do when there's a problem involving the brain and the circulation of cerebrospinal fluid. All right? Hope that helps. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
A regular dose of Intelligent Medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Okay, you heard about the water shutoff protest in Detroit. The city is bankrupt, way past bankrupt, and people just stopped paying their water bills. They recognize that the government there is vulnerable, and these people don't have a source of income. And now they want to send the United Nations in there to address this humanitarian crisis. They feel that people should have a right to access water. Well, a group called PETA, it's an animal rights group, which is People for the Something, Ethical Treatment of Animals, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, has an attention-getting PR stunt around this. That's what they do very often. The organization is offering to pay 1 month's water bill for 10 Detroit residents. But there's a catch. In return, those residents have to go vegan for a month. So they're trying to use this as bait to get people to stop eating animal foods. PETA's motto is, animals are not ours to eat. And so they're trying to entice some Detroiters into vegan lifestyle. They say, try it, you'll like it, and they're going to pay your water bill. You know, I think I don't know if I'm eligible for this. I don't live in Detroit. But my August water bills are enormous. I've got a lawn. Maybe I'll send them my August water bill. It's about $1,500, and I'll go vegan for a month. This solution I like better, though. It's farmers market vouchers may boost produce consumption in low-income families. I like this initiative because what they're saying is that when you get food stamps, you can buy whatever you want. You can buy soda. You can buy all kinds of really crappy food, sugary food, junk. What they're saying is give farmers market vouchers to economically disadvantaged families, and thereby they will buy fresh organic produce. They will also help to support and subsidize a needed resource in this country, which are small independent farmers who are local, and may also help to address the problem commonly referred to as food deserts. That means communities which are usually in disadvantaged areas, which lack access to fresh, healthy food. There's not an incentive for the big markets to go to those areas because the people are poor, so gourmet foods tend to congregate in rich urban or suburban enclaves. And so I think it's a great solution because that'll really encourage poor people who need better diets to use public assistance, the SNAP program, formerly referred to as food stamps, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, give them vouchers for obtaining natural food at local markets, which offer healthier food. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Stick around because we've got lots more to talk about in Hour 2 of Intelligent Medicine.